All right, everyone, it's the Grim Lord here, and this is the Grim Articles Show. I got Dead Penetration here.
What's up?
Okay, so first we're going to go briefly into some AI stuff and then some other stuff. So Meta's won a blockbuster AI copyright case, but there's a catch. So basically, here's what happened. Meta scored a major victory in a copyright lawsuit on Wednesday when a federal judge ruled that the company did not violate the law when it trained its AI tools on 13 authors' books without permission. The court has no choice but to grant summary judgment to Meta on the plaintiff's claims that the company violated copyright law by training its models with their books, wrote U.S. District Court Judge Vince Chabeira. He concluded that the plaintiffs did not present sufficient evidence that Meta's use of their books was harmful. However, they did say... Alright, so we don't need to go through all this. We'll go through some of it. Just want to see. 2023, a high-profile group of authors, including comedian Sarah Silverman and journalist Ta-Nehisi Coates, sued Meta, alleging that the tech behemoth had infringed on their copyright by training its large language models on their work, Qadri versus Meta. Qadri versus Meta was one of the first cases of its kind, and now there are dozens of similar AI copyright lawsuits winding through U.S. courts. Chabi, whatever that guy's name is, had previously stressed that he pressed to look carefully at whether the plaintiffs had enough evidence to show that Meta's use of their work would hurt them financially. The key question in virtually any case where a defendant has copied someone else's original work without permission is whether allowing people to engage in that sort of conduct would substantially diminish the market for the original, he wrote in judgment on Wednesday. So, think about that, guys. The key question in virtually any case where a defendant has copied someone's original work, like AI, without permission, is whether allowing people to engage in that sort of conduct would substantially diminish the market for the original. I don't think so. If you're doing stuff based on Dragon Ball or Star Wars or, you know, like Spawn, some of the stuff, like... That doesn't mean you're not going to have an interest in the original material.
Yeah.
Like, if you're doing something with Mario, people are still playing Mario games, like Donkey Kong. The new Donkey Kong Bonanza is coming out. Hmm. People are still going to want to play Donkey Kong. People are still going to be interested in Death Stranding 2 if they make Death Stranding AI funny stuff. It's not going to hurt. As a matter of fact, it might even promote Death Stranding 2.
Yeah.
It might even promote these other games that, you know, we're talking about. There's a lot of things. If they want to do, like, AI with the Megan movie that comes out, which I hopefully want to see on Monday, that would also promote it. I mean, I think that they're all for anything that is going to grow the market for the original product. If you've made something cool and... People are like, hey, I didn't know about that, or hey, maybe I should check out the original. That's a good idea. That's called promotion. This is the second major ruling in the AI copyright world this week. On Monday, U.S. District Court's Judge William Alsup ruled that Anthropic's use of copyrighted materials to train its own AI tools was legal. Wow. Though the judgment handed Anthropic a win, it was a split decision as the company was still have to face the plaintiffs in court for pirating their books. They did do that.
Oh, yeah.
The plaintiffs' lawyers in Qadri versus Meta argued that Meta's use of pirated materials was a major issue, but Chabra does not focus on the claim like Alsup did, instead noting that the parties would have a Zoom conference to discuss how to handle the piracy claims. The judge further distinguished his stance from Alsup's by stressing that Alsup was brushing aside the importance of market harm in his fair use ruling by focusing on whether the use of the work was transformative. So, there's a lot going on. And it says, on the surface, this looks like a win for the AI industry, says Matthew Sagg, a professor of law and artificial intelligence at Emory University, noting that Meta did clearly notch a victory with the judge's recognition that training AI models is transformative. So we're allowed to do that. However, the court does take very seriously the idea that AI models trained on plaintiffs' books could flood the market with endless amounts of images, songs, articles, books, and more, thereby harming the market for the original works. He probably takes it more seriously than the plaintiffs did, given that they did not put any evidence on this issue. I've never seen a ruling where a judge lamented the failure of the plaintiffs to argue their case quite like this one. The court ruled that AI companies that feed copyright-protected works into their models without getting permission from the copyright holders or paying for them are generally violating the law. The plaintiff's attorneys at Boies Schiller Flexner said in a statement, yet despite the undisputed record of Meta's historically unprecedented pirating of copyrighted works, the court ruled in Meta's favor. We respectfully disagree with that conclusion. Meta's team had a sunnier response. We appreciate today's decision from the court, said spokesperson Thomas Richards. Open source AI models are powering transformative innovations, productivity, and creativity for individuals and companies, and fair use of copyright material is a vital legal framework for building this transformative technology. So, not to toot my own horn too much, but the creator of Deadpool actually retweeted me, and I will read exactly what was retweeted, because hell, the creator of Deadpool doesn't just retweet anybody. That was very surprising. Rob Liefeld, yes, the man that they always criticize for his feet in his comics, and of course that one Captain America thing. But other than that, he did create Deadpool, the mark we all know and love, and I basically said to Liefeld, I said, yes, there's room for both. If you notice on my Twitter, for those that do not follow it, there is, and aside from a lot of prawn, there is a lot of art. A lot of art. A lot of art from games, a lot of art from different places. You'll see Conan, you'll see fantasy art. There's a lot of stuff I'm posting on there. Cyberpunk art. You know, art that I think is cool. So, and comic art, of course. Lots of comic art. And I say there's room for both. AI isn't going to stop original artists from creating. I know a few who said they're using it as a tool to refine their own work. I don't think the well will go dry when it comes to creativity anytime soon. Liefeld responds, yes, it cannot and will not be stopped. It's a tool as were all other tools before it. So we have to realize that, guys. Photoshop was looked at in the same way when it first came out. People were scared, you know? And I even had people criticize me on AI Art Twitter about our generated images that we use. Why didn't you just draw? I was like, okay, well, first of all, I'm a terrible artist, and I need something done very quickly, and I need it to be exactly what I want, you know, for the theme or whatever we're doing. That costs a lot of money for private artists. Like, that costs a lot of money. And I even told that person, I said, look, yes, they were disabled, so it was kind of me yelling at him a little bit.
Yelling at a cripple, you
bastard. Yeah, it was. But at the same, a VTuber, no less. But anyway, the situation was basically like this. I'm very woke, because they were saying, oh, you're ableist. You're being ableist and all that. Because apparently that person was autistic.
I mean, I could draw it, but I got other things in life.
Right, and that's what the other person was saying. It's not that we couldn't draw it, it's just that there's other things going on.
Well,
and
then,
for me,
but if you're paid to do a job, you're expected to do it.
Right. So here's the thing. So, you know, I don't make any real money on this. So basically, I'm not going to hire professional artists. I'm going to just, you know, go into Meta, which I actually use, and do a lot of my stuff in Meta, which is, you know, that's what I use. Sometimes I use Google, but other times I use Meta. There are some other ones, but those are the ones I like, and those are the ones I use. So,
and honestly, most people that do thumbnails do not get artists to do their shit.
Right.
They just, you know,
I know. There's a bunch of other things. It's thumbnails, it's little banners, it's just little stuff like that. You can make a whole bunch of them. And they're fun to make. They're fun. They're a lot of fun, you know. You go, you regenerate, and you try different ones out, and you say, well, I like this, or I don't like that, or that one's got errors, and this one doesn't. And you just go through, and it's kind of fun. I enjoy it, you know. Again, this is all fun for me. So we're not, this has never been a form of work for me. I want everybody to understand that. So for those of you guys who are like, well, why didn't you give us the 2 hours of stuff? Well, I'll do that tomorrow.
Because to earn money.
Yeah, I have to work to earn money, and I was very, very, very tired because I had problems sleeping the night before, you know, and that was a very rough day for me. But today,
a lot of masturbation, huh?
So today was very good,
to say the least.
Today was very good. We didn't have any of those problems, but you know, just saying, guys, I don't have the money for these kinds of people, so we have to do what we have to do. And I enjoy it, you know, some of the thumbnails, you know, every channel has different things, obviously. I always, you know, put different pictures on wherever you see me. And I try to keep that, you know, every month. Of course, we're going to change over to our July AVN month, which is our summer of, you know, we might as well go ahead and advertise it since we're there, aren't we? What is the date? Is it the fucking... Oh, it's the 29th. Yeah, dude, we might as well do it. Okay, so we're coming up into the summer of AVN. So yes, guys, I will absolutely give you the critical border, which you guys were more interested when I didn't put the not safe for work thingy up. Like, a lot of you guys were, oh, cool. But not so many were when I put the not safe for work thingy up. I don't know what to do about that, because I don't really think kids are on BitChute. I really don't think they are. Maybe Yahoo and stuff, but not BitChute.
Oh, if there's anything they want to see, it can't find anywhere else.
Maybe, but I don't think there's that many. Because if they're looking for porn, there's like actual, like, there's probably got to be somebody doing the real...
Depending on the stay.
Yeah.
Limited.
Yeah.
Of course, they had a thing, I think, past...
I know. We don't got to talk about that right now. But anyway, well, we will be talking about something related to that. But anyway, yeah, we're in the summer of AVNs, so things are going to get really hot. We got a lot of really freaking great ones to go through, and we're going to be doing weeks. Like I said, we're going to do a whole 2 AVNs for a whole week, which means 30 minutes of one, 30 minutes of the other. All week, it's going to be those novels, and then the next week, we'll do 2 more novels. So you guys are going to get a lot more than you normally get. And we're probably going to work on the novels that we've got parts done on. You know, novels like Between Two Worlds, which is finished. We might as well give you more of that story. Race of Life, we can give you more of that story. And yes, Tuesdays are still going to be Ripples in Eternum. Because I think that's right. I think that's fair. But Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday... all wild card. It's whatever, you know, you guys want me to do. Or whatever I pick to do, rather. How about that? Also, since Lust Theory is done, yes, I fucking mean it, we will get 3, but we're not doing 3 until it's finished. And until then, we're going to be doing either Monster College, Race of Life, or Between Two Worlds, and I'm not real sure yet which one. And I even thought about doing Project Passion or that one from Highborn Tiger. There's just so many. Like, I follow a lot of AVN devs, so I'm trying to figure out which ones I want to do. I don't know. There's too many. Oh, and there is something cool I want to show you guys real quick. If this is it, here we are. Game Story Log. What is this, Grim? This is a fucking website to track. Brand new, by the way. All AVN. It's all... I mean, there's some others, but there's Ripples. And you can give the scores if you want. Obviously, guess what? Guess what the top one of all time is. You don't have to say too much. It's Eternum. It's always gonna be Eternum. Eternum is the best one we've ever had. Apparently, Echoes of the Cataclysm is pretty good, too. That's got a 5-star rating. But, if you guys want to, you know, figure out what the hell to play, you can check this out. There's active, completed, on hiatus, and abandoned. Might want to check abandoned to see, you know, see, like, No More Money got abandoned. There's a bunch of these that just got abandoned completely, so you don't want to be in that situation. Also, you hit completed, and all these games are done. All of them are done. Countess and Crimson. I mean, it also does, like, Knightly Passions. It's not just the Daz games. There's a lot of Daz here. But you see how you have 2D AI, Daz 3D, Honey Select, Koikatsu, Other. This is a great site. And they have a Discord, too, guys. So you can click on there, the Discord, log in, and you can go ahead and review. Obviously, you can go in there and you can write a review. And it's also a place to track your pass. Now, this is going to be really useful to you guys, because some of you are like, okay, Grim, how do I get on the blah, 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 blah path, right? Well, you click on that, and it'll show you how to get on the path, like with ripples. I think a lot of people are kind of working on that right now, on the different paths. Let's see. I'm not sure, but it'll tell you what's in the game, too. Like, obviously, you know, we can't actually tell you everything, but there you go. And there's your reviews. Reviews. See, look, there's some reviews. I don't understand the game. Understand the love. Other than time travel gimmick, it seems very generic. But, you know, everybody's allowed to be a critic here. And there's your roots. Now, you have to log in to track the roots. It's a little different. There's some screenshots of the game. I mean, this is a new site. This is brand freaking new. So, 983 games so far. And growing, I'm sure. But I want you guys to know about this, and I want you guys to use it. And maybe jump into the Discord. It's right there. They also have a Reddit, but I like the Discord better. They have an email. They actually have an APK for this, too. So if you guys want to just have it on your phone to track all the little perverted games you guys play, because, you know, we know that's how we roll around here, you can do that, too. Just don't show it to your boss. You never know, he might get interested. What is that? Shell Hell Secrets? Ah, what kind of game is that, I wonder?
Pretty good so far.
The Genesis Order? Yeah, I mean, you guys know. And one of these days, I swear, I'll get back to where I was in Treasure of Nadia. You know. Alright, but that's enough of that. I promised that we'd only do 30 minutes, but then I started talking.
Yeah.
Alright, so We have a real important... It's like, you know, you're going real fast in the car and all of a sudden... There's a big-ass detour. This is what Texas just did. A Texas law requiring age verification for adult websites doesn't violate the First Amendment, says the court. The Supreme Court has upheld... This is the Supreme Court of Texas, not the SCOTUS. I always thought we have a Supreme Court of Texas, a Supreme Court of Michigan. Why instead of a Supreme Court of the United States, why don't we just have Ultra Court? The ultimate court, you know? Because it's very confusing. When people say the Supreme Court, they're like, oh, this is the Supreme Court of Texas, not the Supreme Court of the United States.
The ultimate, the main Supreme Court.
Would be Supreme Court of the United States.
Yes.
Instead, they should just call it the ultimate court, because it would be the entire court for the whole damn country. It's a hell of a lot easier. I need to tag Trump. Trump, I got this amazing idea. Could you just imagine these in ultimate court today? Ultimate court.
You don't know what you're fucking doing.
An ultra court today. Let's see. In mega court. Mega court. The Supreme Court has upheld a Texas law requiring age verification to access adult websites, saying despite First Amendment claims, the law only indecently burdens the protected speech of adults. The ruling in Free Speech Coalition versus Paxton opens the door to age gating in states nationwide. The courts ruled in Texas' favor by a margin of 6-3, with Justices Sonia Sotomayor, Alina Kagan, and Ketanji Brown Jackson dissenting. And the majority opinion was delivered by Clarence Thomas. The First Amendment leaves undisturbed states' traditional power to prevent minors from accessing speech that is obscene from their perspective, writes Thomas. That power includes the power to require proof of age before an individual can access such speech. It follows that no person, adult or child, has a First Amendment right to access such speech without first submitting proof of age. So, how does this affect me? Well, first of all, this will make it so that people from Texas can't look at us, because I don't know if BitChute is going to do a thing. I mean, I don't know what the hell would be considered obscene. Like, I know we put not safe for work, but Is it obscene if we just talk about sex? I have no fucking clue. And people were wondering if because I got high or something like that would be considered. Like, it's really hard to decide what's going to be obscene. That's the hard part. I mean,
because I got high, that whole record already had a...
I know.
Paranoid record.
But if somebody posts the song, that's... that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, someone... Well, usually when they post it, it didn't have all the dirty part.
Allison Bowden, the executive director of the Free Speech Coalition, which represents the adult media industry, said that, as it has been throughout history... Pornography is once again the canary in the coal mine of free expression. The government should not have the right to demand that we sacrifice our privacy and security to use the internet. This law has failed to keep minors away from sexual content, yet continues to have a massive chilling effect on adults. The outcome is disastrous for Texans and for anyone who cares about freedom of speech and privacy online. Now here is the fucking problem here, guys. So first of all, you're going to have an ID. And the ID is going to be used to access pornography online. Like say if you want to go to... I don't know. I don't know if they'll do it, but Jest USA Summer Sale right now, which is going on till July 10th. Totally did not get any money for that, by the way. But what I'm saying here is, say you wanted to check that out. Well, here's the problem with that, guys. The problem with that is that you would have to put in your ID, which means that your ID, you wouldn't be Fat Man 33. You would be whatever your real name is. Okay? Like, it completely destroys your anonymity. So you're no longer anonymous, and even though Dave doesn't fucking care, now he knows that you like sexy robots. And so does Texas government know that you like sexy robots.
But if some reason in the future they want to change the rules... Then they're like, well, we know this guy, this
right.
guy. It's almost like a list.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Like, oh, we know this guy likes Yowie. Yowie's really popular. This girl, rather, if you're a woman, we know you like to see men violently beat each other because we've got your information. See, that's the kind of problems we're talking about here, guys. We're talking about the government having way too much information. And this could backfire. There's a lot of people that are talking about other things, VPN usage, all that sort of thing. It is really chilling for adults. Again, it's always, think of the children. And that's literally what they fucking said in the thing.
You know, they do stuff like that about gun control, too. Like, what if it saves one life? Well, how many lives? It's saved. Millions are saved just flashing a gun, you know, that they don't keep those records. And FBI has already been caught, you know, fudging the records on stuff like that. Because it's not our demographic.
And the court is saying here. The conclusion, as well as an earlier one on a similar age verification provision in the Communications Decency Act, is no longer appropriate thanks to the forward march of technology. With the rise of smartphone and instant streaming, many adolescents, we're worried about adolescents, can now access vast libraries of video content, both benign and obscene, at almost any time and place, with an ease that would have been unimaginable at the time of Reno and Ashcraft II, it says. Now adults have no First Amendment right to avoid age verification. That's intended to block content deemed obscene for minors, the court ruled. The ruling hinged largely on the court declining to apply the highest level of scrutiny to the law, a measure that's required in many speech-related cases and is typically difficult to overcome. Applying that scrutiny might call into question all age verification requirements, even long-standing in-person requirements to access content that's outlawed for minors. Yeah. So it says there are several possible ways to enact online age verification, but critical evaluations have concluded that few, if any, methods manage to effectively block minors' access without potentially compromising adults' privacy. posing much higher risks than flashing an ID at the door of a brick-and-mortar store. At the time of Ashcroft versus ACLU, the Supreme Court determined that parent-controlled content filters could provide comparable protections without the same risks. But during oral arguments, justices seemed sympathetic to arguments that the internet had become meaningfully more dangerous to children and that these optional methods had failed. Then you know what you do? Keep children off the fucking internet.
Yeah, well, most parents don't even fucking...
No.
Well, I don't want to mess with it. They should let it be the government's problem. Usually a Democrat thing, but... No. I mean, everyone has the option of putting, you know, parental locks on their stuff. I mean... Even some of the stuff at, like, kids watch on YouTube now, which is, like, grown-ups dressed in different hero or Disney characters doing just random stuff.
So, a moron, this is the biggest comment here. A moronic and short-sighted decision. While I am in no way in favor of children accessing pornography... The only thing these laws do is punish law-abiding and tax-paying U.S. production companies and drive traffic to sketchy foreign sites and does nothing to actually protect kids given how easy it is for them to find porn with minimal gating on social media sites like X who are not bound by this law. Basically, this helps no one and hurts legitimate businesses. While creating a massive privacy issue for adults, also a couple of red state legislatures can make it look like they care about kids while simultaneously gutting all the support systems that children need. A sad day for this country. I mean, it's basically the same argument 2A folks make when you say we should limit access to guns. People still find a way to commit crimes with guns. This applies to everything else as well.
The only people that follow laws are law-abiding citizens.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, I don't necessarily feel like porn's a great thing.
Right.
By any means. Too much of it's terrible for you. It could fuck your brain up.
Yep.
But, people still... It's like... some things, like leaving an abortion to the state.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, should porn be left to the states? I don't know.
So, I mean, there's some interesting conversation here.
Which I kind of think that law passing kind of is that.
Yeah. Fix the title for you. VPNs are the future of the internet, thanks to Supreme Court. VPN sponsorships are about to go through the roof. And it says, being the few people want to have their government ID associated with adult websites in some sort of corporate database, this is basically the Supreme Court saying the adult industry is effectively outlawed in as many states as want to go for it. Guy says, thank God, porn is disgusting and evil. Guy says, and now it'll be even more dangerous for women that are driven to sketchier avenues. Good job. That is true. So, just to stir the pot, if you think adult content is fine, there's nothing wrong with it, why are you so worried about the government knowing you logged into an adult site? My ID is scanned by a state system when I buy beer that's being logged somewhere, but beer is good and I don't care people know that I drink it, so whatever. You only need to hide your use if you think the thing you're using is bad to begin with. Because it's my business and I'll hide whatever I damn well please. Well, if you want to get in any bar, that's not going to fly. You're free to hide whatever you want, but don't expect unrestricted access because you choose to hide. I run a bar twice a week. Do you think I'm collecting and collating personal data when I ask for ID?
Nope. They don't do that at a lot of places. It's, like I said, it's a list. Some might say it's what the Nazis did to the Jews.
Yeah, they put you on a list.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
The Nazis had a list.
Okay. Fitness influencer and date gunned down by her estranged husband, leaving behind 11 kids. Police. A popular fitness influencer and her date were gunned down by her jealous estranged husband, who was then fatally shot by an off-duty cop in California, according to police and her family. Gloria Zamora. I don't know. Hold on. I think we did... Yeah, that's her. Okay, I wasn't sure if we did this already.
What happened now?
Gloria Zamora, mother of seven, who boasts over 150,000 followers on Instagram, was killed late Saturday along with her date, father of four, Hector Gardono, in the parking lot of a sushi restaurant in Fontana, leaving behind 11 children with them. They were shot by Zamora's second husband. No, this is different. This wasn't the bodybuilder that died, but she also died. There were two women that were killed. Hold on, let me check this out real quick. All right, here we go. There's two. We'll talk about this one. We'll do both women. There were two hammer attacks. Well, not two hammer attacks. There were two attacks. So, bodybuilder Zunilda Mendez, who's done a lot of porn, dead at 43 after hammer attack. Husband found with self-inflicted wounds. That's her. Zunilda Hoyos Mendez, a 43-year-old Colombian bodybuilder known as She-Hulk, was found beaten to death with a hammer this week. And her husband was also discovered deceased from self-inflicted knife wounds, according to reports. Local outlets say that cops visited a rental home in the Spanish town of, I'm not pronouncing that, on Thursday after Mendez was reported missing by a friend a day prior. When officers arrived, they discovered Mendez and her husband, Jared Gelling, dead in the house. Canaria 7 stated that cops determined the wounds on Mendez's body showed clear signs of violence after the wounds on Gelling suggest he died by suicide. An autopsy will determine his official cause of death. The two were reportedly suffering marriage problems, the family saying that Gelling was being aggressive towards Mendez and she wanted a divorce. The two were preparing for a bodybuilding competition in Portugal in a matter of weeks. According to family members who spoke with a local media outlet, the plan was for the two to divorce following the trip. For my aunt, it was her last trip with him, a farewell, her niece told the outlet. She had decided to divorce him because of her husband's aggressive behavior. Of course, there's the rest of the girls there. Fellow bodybuilders post a series of tributes to Mendez on Instagram, calling her the kindest woman in the world. Every second in my brain are good memories of you and nothing else. Rest in peace, my angel. So, yeah, she died. And, of course, a lot of people in the bodybuilding or female bodybuilding community are sad. They were posting a lot of stuff about it in groups that I'm in. So, yeah, it's sad, but it happens. Okay. So, now the other one. The popular fitness influencer and her date were also gunned down by a jealous, estranged husband, who was then fatally shot by an off-duty cop in California, according to police and her family. Gloria Zamora, mother of seven, who boasted over 150,000 followers on Instagram, was killed late Saturday along with her date, father of four, Hector Garduno, in the parking lot of a sushi restaurant in Fontana, leaving behind 11 children. They were shot by Zamora's second husband, Thomas Alberto Tamayo Lizarraga. Yep, that's definitely Spanish. Just days after the 40-year-old fitness influencer told listeners on her podcast, Horizon, that she was leaving him. She's 40? Wow. It's a lot of plastic surgery and a lot of makeup.
Was 40.
Well, yeah. They were going through a divorce that led to this. See, again. This is the same week, guys. Officer Steve Reed with the Fontana Police Department told ABC of the divorce saying, double slaying. Okay, so this is interesting because they're Spanish, and so was the other couple. It was both a divorce, and both of them are dead. Wow, yeah, it's crazy, right?
I think someone needs to see their papers.
We don't know how he knew where she was at, but apparently, well, the other woman was not in America. She was in Brazil where she was killed. We don't know how he knew where she was at, but apparently she had been at the restaurant for approximately an hour prior to the shooting. Several off-duty law enforcement officers happened to be in the area when the gunfire erupted. I mean, of course they are. I mean, you see what's going on in L.A. They're out there all right, including one off-duty San Bernardino County Sheriff's deputy who was driving by the shopping center and witnessed the shooting, according to Reed. The deputy made a U-turn at the light and got out of his vehicle and confronted the suspect, Reed said. Lizarraga was shot and killed by the deputy, whose name has not been released. An online fundraiser said Zamora leaves behind seven children, 8 to 24, who are now facing a future without our mother's warmth, guidance, and unconditional love. My mom was senselessly taken from us. She was murdered by my stepdad, Tomas. Tomas. It's not Thomas, it's Tomas. And an act of unimaginable violence, wrote one of her daughters, Jaslyn Zamora. Jaslyn described her mother as a light in the community who uplifted and inspired countless women. She always says women can do anything they put their minds to, and she lived those words every day. And they launched a GoFundMe. And they're still investigating the shooting. It's like JFC, seven kids by 40, her legs are like 7-Eleven. They never close and are open to all. Has anyone ever taught her the word no? What is worse is she probably wasn't done considering she was divorcing husband number two. Actually, seven kids by 33. Who knows if she would have kept going with her new hombre. 40 is still childbearing age.
Well, you know...
That cop did us all a favor. Of course, now we're stuck caring for 11 kids through our tax dollars. Any Americans involved in this story? The taxpayers picking up the bill.
Ice, where are you? Her big, beautiful eyes, yes. Take them back, take them back.
Oh, Lord. Still another influencer dead or implicated in a crime. Influencers do have a time of it lately. Some probably wish by now they'd done something else for a living, with the apparent pitfalls involved. Well, it's a risk. It's a risk you take. Yep. Nation's Living Rooms in Disarray as the Minecraft movie has hit streaming. Living rooms and family rooms across the country have been nearly destroyed by rambunctious tweens following the release of a Minecraft movie on HBO Max, concerned parents report. Dear God, we just bought that sofa, said Amy Lark 43. Now it's covered in Go-Gurt and Feastable crumbs. He didn't even have any friends over. He just asked if he could use the screen time to watch a movie, and I had all the parental restrictions set up, so I thought it was fine. Since he was six, watching a movie alone has always meant 90 minutes of free time for me. And now there's Cherry Freeze Prime on the ceiling, and don't get me started on the carpet.
He smashed your own question. Leave the kids alone, and you don't beat your kids. Two things that need to be fixed.
He smashed all of our lamps onto it and then dumped a bunch of houseplants on top of that. Ooh. I'm trying to clean it up, but it's all wet for some reason.
Man.
Oh, fuck, it's piss. He pissed on the carpet. Lark's son described the experience of watching the movie from the comfort of his own home. Yeah, I fucking pissed when Steve said chicken jockey, said Aiden Lark, 13. It fucking ruled. My boy Derek did it after he saw about it on TikTok, and now all the boys are pissing for chicken. I can't believe I can watch this movie every day now. I can even just watch the chicken jockey clip over and over. We don't need to get our moms to drive us to the theater and yell at the employees for getting mad at us anymore. This is without a doubt the best time to be alive.
Yeah, destroy your own house.
Movie theater employees express a reserved sympathy for the parents who are now forced to deal with this behavior. That's horrific, and no one should have to go through it, said Zach Beatty, 23, an AMC employee. I remember what it was like here, but I can't even imagine what it's like at home. Sure, we had to deal with popcorn and soda, but now these monsters have access to lunch. You start throwing that stuff around a living room, it's practically a biohazard. You'll never get rid of the mold. On the other hand, if these people had spent literally any time parenting their kids, that's reasonable to assume that none of us would have had to deal with any of this.
Or whipping them.
It's hard not to see as a form of karma.
This is making my whipping hand go
wild. At press time, reports of living room destruction had grown even more dire after rumors spread that it was possible to construct an end portal out of drywall, cushion stuffing, and copper wire. Okay. So that was funny. That was a comedy. That's a comedy website. AC/DC fans urged band to retire after lackluster concert footage goes viral. Concert footage from one of AC/DC's recent live shows has sparked fierce fan debate on social media, with some urging that the legendary rockers pack up their guitars for good. AC/DC have been carving up stages in Europe and on the US for their Power Up World Tour in recent months, and they've recently announced their Australian comeback that's set to go ahead later this year. Sadly for the band, however, footage from their last concert has left many Australian fans rethinking whether to purchase tickets to the show. All right, hold on. Let's see how bad it is. Let's see how bad.
Is there any volume?
Well, let's check it out. This is all free stuff, so I ain't worried about that. All right, so we'll look at it.
well, they also have to understand these people are old now.
They're really old.
Like, the fact that they're doing what they're doing is fucking amazing. Well, that looked like Mike Myers in a costume now. Yeah, baby, yeah.
Once again, oh, whoops, that's TikTok. Don't want to go on that. How do you, what, do you refresh? Or?
Man, I saw two new shows. They're new.
Here we go.
Sounds very Australian.
Yeah.
So you know what ACDC actually stands for?
It's all the
mating and direct current.
Yep. Bad. I mean, yeah. I was gonna get tickets until I saw this, commented one fan.
Well,
I really wanted to see them this year. Now I don't. Thank you for this. This is so painful. They need to stop. Gotta say, Angus is really pulling the load on this tour. They'll always be my favorite band by far, but I'm sitting out. Hundreds of other comments echoed the same sentiment, with many urging the band to retire and save their legacy rather than continue to perform. Despite concerns from fans, others said it would be silly to expect the Rockers to be performing as well as they did back in their heyday.
Now, think about Everclear. Like, I wonder how he is, the lead singer from Everclear, is.
Not as old as they are.
Well, he was 40 when he got signed, and that was in the 90s.
Okay. It's an old band. Of course, they're not going to be the same. Y'all don't have to stay for them. You don't have to stay for them to stop doing what they like, insisted one while another added. Let them do what they want. I'll still go watch them to say I've seen them one final time. And that's probably what they're doing, the one final time tour.
That's probably it. They got to pay for the coffins and everything else.
Shit.
Burial costs. Yeah.
I mean, yeah, I guess.
I mean, I don't know if they spent their money wisely over the years.
All right. So, here we go. All right. Viral photo of Gen Z woman sparks intense fashion debate. Doesn't know how to dress.
Does she not?
A viral photo of a group of young women all wearing the same piece of clothing has sparked an intense fashion debate. Shared on X, the image features what appears to be a group of Gen Z women dressed in a similar outfit. Baggy light blue jeans paired with various plain colored tops. While baggy jeans and a tee have long been regarded as a typical off-duty look for models, many fashion enthusiasts were puzzled that the group chose this attire for a night out, viewing it as more appropriate for daytime casual wear. Does anyone have any theories as to how the light-washed jeans became considered evening wear? The poster asked.
I always wonder why soccer mom pants came back.
I don't know. After 6
p.m.
Like,
young kids wearing them.
After 6 p.m., especially in the colder months, you would rarely see lighter colors than indigo, they continued. Responses came flooding in, with some agreeing that light denim was for daytime occasions, while others were confused that different types of jeans could correspond with specific times of the day. Gen Z doesn't know how to dress for different times of day or evening yet. Meanwhile, another user remarked, there's no way some people actually believe different colored jeans are only appropriate for different times of day. Now, that's true. But
stupid.
But basically, I did like what somebody posted as one of the comments. It's like, you'll be able to find me. I'm the one in the black shirt and the blue jeans. And that's literally all the girls. There they all, right there. They're all in black shirt and blue jeans.
Yeah.
That's crazy, these girls. This is what you guys are dealing with right now. So, you know, we pour one out for you. Not this beer, but yeah.
Well, I mean, I'd throw them a bone if they had a personality. I don't give a shit if they know how to dress.
Well, we're just talking about that day.
Oh my gosh, you're wearing day pants? No, fuck out of here.
No, I wouldn't say anything like that, but I'm just saying that. Damn. Oh, white shoes.
White shoes? Well, I
except for that one, she doesn't have any feet.
Technically before Labor Day?
She has no feet. That woman is feetless. Feet fans are going to be really upset to find she has no feet.
She was foot-bound as a child. She walks like a little Asian lady.
Okay, we talked about this already. No, fuck.
Open her eyes, let her sleep with other people. Now, I help my boyfriend find dates, too. It sounds like a waste of a bitch.
Okay, so, it's okay. So, what you're listening to is called Broken Drum Machine, and it sounds like it.
Sounds like the drum machine's broken, man. You need to fix it.
I opened my relationship so I could sleep with other people. Now I help my boyfriend find dates, too. It takes two to find number three. Model Cammy Strella and her partner, Liv Lieben, were in a long-time monogamous relationship, but after 2 years together, Strella suggested they begin to experiment with other partners. I wanted to have my cake and eat it, too, she said.
She's just trying to up her body count. That bitch.
She explained that she valued the intimate emotional connection she had with Lieben, but felt it was important to explore other sexual experiences as well.
Cut out the part where she says, I'm tired of dating a ginger.
We basically dove headfirst into non-monogamy. She was excited about exploring her sexuality with others at first. Estrella even vacationed in Thailand with one partner, but although it was her idea, she admitted she was apprehensive about sharing her fiancé with other women. I struggled quite a bit with letting go of the concept of ownership because sex with Lev had been so intimate with me. But I wanted to explore sex with other men and women, and it was only fair that he got to do the same. As with any relationship, there's been some bumps in the road, and it took the pair a while to get to the hang of their new dynamic. There are a lot of misunderstandings in the beginning, and we had a lot of rules, she recalled. It was a bit weird. It's very normal to feel awkward at first, but once you unbridle yourself from the concept of monogamy, it's really freeing. However, the model and influencer explained that honesty was key to making it work. The West Coast-based influencer has 410,000 followers on her Instagram account, Cammy Strella, and makes up to $220,000 a month sharing racy photos and videos online.
Look like a sperm burping gutter slut to me.
Prior to her current career, Strella was enrolled in a graduate school program studying occupational therapy and neurology, but ended up leaving when her classes went online during the COVID-19 pandemic.
I think it was, these classes are so hard.
The pair met when Strella was pursuing her master's degree and Lieben was serving in the army.
That's called the cum dumpster. She's just laying there with her mouth wide open. Insert.
She said that both she and Lieben are completely transparent about other sex partners. Funnily enough, now I really enjoy helping Lev find dates or hearing about his sex life with others. A few times when he's told me a particular woman was great in bed, I've even reached out to them myself and end up having sex with them, she admitted. Strella also believes that opening up her relationship, or excuse me, their relationship, has tested the strength of their bond. After 2 years of enjoying an open relationship, Strella says she hasn't regretted her decision. Since opening up to each other about our concerns and sharing our desires, it has turned into something really great. The couple enjoys complete sexual freedom, which could make some people feel uncomfortable, especially at the prospect of literally sharing a partner with strangers, but Strella says she doesn't mind it at all. I like sharing Liv because he's an amazing person, and I like the idea of other people recognizing this. She also maintains that their bond as a couple, especially given that they've been together 4 years total and currently live together, is incredibly fulfilling. The sex that Lev and I have is very different to the sex I have with anyone else, Strella said. A lot of people don't realize that this is a way of life and that it's an option they could try, which is why I feel it's important to share our experience.
I bet herpes, if it hadn't already reached their future, has become their present.
How many STDs do you have? When she says relationship, it's a metaphoric description of her knees.
Yeah, that's great article, Satan. Talking the guy into letting her be a whore elsewhere.
That is true.
You can't be mad. We agreed to me being a whore. Like, it might as well stick sucker in the town square is like, whoever wants to lick it, we're sharing this lollipop.
Before
now.
We do this last article, I've got to share a personal anecdote. This was shared to me from a friend that has been in the dating scene, so he's got a lot of experience about what's really going on right now. He said, of course, I'm not going to say his name, obviously, but he said to me, if I can find him there. I've got to find him first. He may have deleted the
post.
Could have. It could be interesting. Let's see. Alright, so that is interesting there. Anyway, he must have deleted it, but he had said something around the tune of, he had been dating and he found this bottom of the barrel one, and it basically didn't work out very well for him. Like, yeah.
I mean, at the bottom of the barrel.
Yeah.
You know where that comes from, don't you? Cracker barrels, you know, back in the day, crackers were sold in the barrel. So when you got to the bottom of the barrel, they were usually moldy crackers, just rotten, been sitting in there stale. Nobody wants them. So that is where bottom of the barrel comes from.
Right. Well, let's see. I had something here, but it is unfortunate that they... Yeah, the guy did that. It's weird. He posted something and then he decided... Oh, I found it. Sorry, guys. All right, that was bizarre. But anyway, we found it. Okay, between the ages of 19 and 28. So this is a little story. I noticed a gradual decline in the quality of online dating options, but I was still able to score a date with relative ease. That is true. I remember those days. During the 5 years after, even I found dates. During the 5 years after I got back on the dating market at age 38, I was forced to replace online dating with other options, since online dating was no longer an interesting option anymore unless you're among the top 5%. Or you're one of the rare lucky ones winning the Tinder lottery. And I noticed a similar decline in the quality of women that I managed to sleep with. Last woman I slept with was pretty much the bottom of the barrel, and I believe that's been almost 2 years ago now.
Wonder if he described bottom of the barrel.
Sure, some changes in my life may have decreased my individual market value during both phases, like gaining weight, but other factors have also improved, like better social skills. This and the majority of single men sharing similar observations tells me that this isn't just a, quote, incel, unquote, phenomenon applying to men with very ultra-low market value. Also, there's Tinder stats and women telling on themselves showing that this trend has become pretty much a global pandemic. So this is getting to be a pretty big deal.
Well, yeah. Oh,
fuck. Yeah. Yeah, it's a pretty big deal now. But all right, here is the last article. So this is interesting. There's not a shred of evidence on the internet that this ban has ever existed. This apparently AI-generated artist is racking up hundreds of thousands of Spotify streams. The Velvet Sundown has no online footprint, a suspiciously artificial artist image, and a ChatGPT-generated biography, but somehow has almost 350,000 monthly listeners. AI-powered music generators Suno and Udio, of course you've seen some of my music that I've done with Suno here, have been churning out soulless, well, I don't know about that, but it seems that AI-generated songs have largely failed to capture the public's imagination the way that many of the technology critics had feared. A handful of AI-made tracks have broken through the mainstream. In 2023, a controversial fake Drake song with deepfake vocals picked up millions of streams before being taken down. And more recently, an unsavory AI-generated track made it into Germany's charts, stirring up tensions for an entirely different reason. But on the whole, the top tier of the music industry has yet to be infiltrated by tracks produced by platforms like Suno, which generate complete songs based on text prompts at the click of a button. That's not to say that AI-generated music isn't being listened to, however. Support from Music Ally has made clear. We will... I will save that for my own reading later. Though they're not yet dominating the charts, disturbingly realistic, oh yeah, they're good, you guys know it, are slowly but surely creeping into our headphones, and you may even be listening to them without realizing what you're hearing. Are you good?
I'm just... some medication.
Okay.
Off of is giving me eczema.
Uh-oh.
Means the overproduction of your immune system.
Smuggled into popular playlists and hidden in plain sight among authentic, well-known tracks, AI-generated artists with fake photos, ChatGPT-generated biographies, and no genuine fans to speak of are picking up hundreds of thousands of streams. By the way, it costs money to put your shit on Spotify. I found that out. One such artist is Velvet Sundown, a band. Yes, it does. It costs money because you have to do it through a company. I didn't know that. I thought you could just literally put your shit on there. You can't. One such artist is the Velvet Sundown, a band with almost 350,000 monthly Spotify listeners, but no discernible online presence or social media accounts. Shit, now I'm itching. There's not a shred of evidence on the internet that this band has ever existed, as one Redditor put it. While we can't confirm that the band's music is AI-generated, a glance at their artist image and bio should be enough to persuade even the least skeptical observer. The Velvet Sundown don't just play music, they conjure words, reads the group's Spotify profile, which we're 99% certain have been authored by ChatGPT. Somewhere between the ghosts of Laurel Canyon and the echo of a Berlin warehouse, this four-piece blend bends time, fusing 1970 psychedelic textures with cinematic alt-pop and dreamy analog soul. Okay, hold on. The band's lineup ostensibly features Mellotron sorcerer Gabe Farrell, free-spirited percussionist Orion Rio Del Mar, synth alchemist Milo Rains, and guitarist Lenny West. Four musicians that turn up a grand total of zero appearances in Google search results between them. You can't find them. As for the music itself, the band's country-tinged roots bears the unmistakably lo-fi veneer of a Suno creation, but it's convincing enough to pass by undetected, sandwiched in a playlist between two authentic songs. In fact, that's where it's been found. Velvet Sundown tracks have been identified in more than 30 popular playlists created by anonymous curator accounts and have even been popping up in Spotify users' Discover Weekly. Personalized playlists generated by the platform's recommendation algorithm. The band's music has also been uploaded to Apple Music, Amazon Music, YouTube, and Deezer. The latter's AI detection tool flagging the Velvet Sundown's music as potentially AI-generated. Who is behind the Velvet Sundown? Who exactly? But you know what? Grim here can find out who is behind the Velvet Sundown. Real quickly, I can tell you if this is AI. I've listened to more than enough AI music to be able to tell. I listened to about 20 different versions of my songs today. So, okay, let's see here. Let's go right in here. Not with that one. You know what? Let's just go ahead and... Alright. Right over here. This is an interesting video. It might be a Mega Man game. It might be, okay? Hopium on my point. But, alright. Anyway, guys, here we go. So they're called the Velvet Sundown. So let's hear them. Yeah. Dust on the Wind. We got one song from them right now. You and I can tell, probably.
Oh, yeah.
Let's see here. Gonna put it on 60, and we're gonna go ahead and listen to these guys real quick and see. It's only like 2 minutes.
Dust on the wind, boots on the ground, smoke in the sky, and no peace found.
You think that is AI?
Yeah.
The drums roll slow.
It's got that twang.
Tell me, brother,
little kind of, I don't know how to explain it, but I hear it in a lot of the same.
Okay, so they did it through DistroKid. Ah, yeah, it costs you quite a bit of money to do that, guys, because I was going to do my stuff through DistroKid. It costs a lot of money. Oh, yeah. I can hear it in the vocals now.
Yep.
Guitars cry out.
10,000 people on that one.
Mama pray.
This is not a...
Thunder.
there's a new Acilio song out. I'll have to check that out. I follow her on X. She does all these poses and things. Her. They're like the evil idol group. Used to be part of Necronomadol. I mean, it sounded like a wannabe Pink Floyd.
Yeah. Well, the album art looks a little Pink Floyd-ish.
Yeah, it's not really good. Oh, whoops, that was the main.
I thought it was good, but you can tell it's AI.
Yeah, but I think I've heard better. Oh, like the freaking man, the record that the what is it, the Lizard Wizard, the Fiddle Wizard, and the Gizzard. Oh my God, that fucking record is so amazing. 70s, but it's real, real good. So. Yeah, guys, that's what we think. We think it's AI. What do you guys think? At any rate, we're going to go ahead and head off here, and this will be the grim... Go ahead.
I was going to say the fact that you can't find anything on them.
Yeah.
And obviously, you'd think they'd have an agent or something, you know, attached to them, like a record company, or even independently, you'd be able to find something, because if they're trying to get known, but it sounds like just trying to make money off the music they made through AI.
Well, they're using DistroKid, so
just one person.
I like this guy. I like this girl. I use Suno to produce the songs I write the lyrics to. I do that. Oh yeah, all the songs that you guys heard, I wrote. I've even got the fucking papers right here. You can see right here. That's all. Yep, they're there. I just want people to know, because people think, oh, you had a computer write the lyrics. Never. No, never fucking ever.
Now that's where it would get kind of shoddy.
Okay, so please tell me, am I not allowed to share my music because I didn't have the opportunities to take music lessons? Are rich enough to hire humans? That's the thing. I'm talking about if I had a band, I even said there's shit I would do. Here's a novel concept. If you don't like AI music, don't listen to it, but don't rally against something you don't understand based on the opinion of a biased columnist.
You know, I always played independent places by myself, but to find other people to play with you, which I played in a band for a little bit, but they didn't ever want to go play anywhere. So it's really hard to find someone on the same level of ambition as you.
It says, can you not read, or do you mean actually the production of the beat? Because they said they do write the lyrics, and AI just produced the beat. And I'm not on either side, but how's that any different than a producer who's making the track and giving it to an artist to then use the beat and have someone sing a rap for them?
Yep.
And they don't always get recognized.
Nope.
No, well, that's what I'm saying.
Well, they sell it too. Usually they sell the...
No, just the person who put out the actual finished track gets a majority, if not all, the credit. And I guarantee most people don't even know about music producers and how many of them are putting endless hours of work to produce tracks for everyone and barely get a mention or notice. Like backup singers and all the other artists who are part of the ensemble, and a lot of most songs being put out. And I bet most of them aren't getting paid what they should, and sometimes not at all. How many times do you hear of artists not getting paid for work they did on a feature or not getting credits on it? I know I hear a crap ton of those kinds of stories. And how come the person that's using the AI as a tool isn't being thought of as creative? They're putting in work to make those pieces of music, whether it was an AI or was an instrument used, or still creating a piece of art, no matter the instrument or tool being used to develop it. So I don't know. I don't like the attacks on people who finally found a way to realize their vision. Huh. Yeah, that's true. And it's not even realized my vision. I put out 4 fucking records.
Yeah.
All I did is, okay, I cannot sing power metal. I will never be able to sing power metal. That's, I can't do it. But they have AI guys that can do it and make it sound like I want it to. I can do all the growls and all that shit myself. And I was actually wondering if I was going to, like, I want to do a... for those of you the guys that know, my Man in Black song got really fucking popular on YouTube. It did. So basically what I wanted to do was show people exactly how it was meant to be. All the verses were supposed to be in death metal. Like, growls. But the chorus was the same chorus you hear on the song. That's exactly how I envisioned it when I wrote it 20 years ago. Yeah. So, basically, what I'm saying is, can I take this song now, remove the verses, do them myself and have the chorus be the same chorus as in the song. That's what I would like to do, to show people, yes, I am an actual fucking vocalist. I wrote this shit. This is all me. So yeah, I mean, it's pretty good. Like I said, I agree with Elsie here. I mean, it's a great thing for people that actually have written all this fucking music over the years that can finally get it out there.
Well, yeah.
And I'm talking to a guy that does shows all over my area. Like, literally, he knows all the people and all this stuff. And I actually let him listen to Man in Black, and he loved it so much, he decided to do his own version of it. Like, he literally got in there with his guitar, added some things. He used the backing of the original AI track. But he started singing, and he said, do I have permission to do this? I said, yeah, go ahead. And he's even putting it on his record. And I'm like, you can do that. Yeah. I'm giving you the fucking rights to do that.
I think he should have had something signed, though.
I don't care.
Money off it.
I don't.
Wouldn't you like to make a little money off of your work?
Yeah, not for him. He's good, but you know, they make records all the time. Like, they're constantly they're one of these projects that makes records like 5-10 records at a time. They're constantly making records. Yeah, they're constantly making music all the time. He's just one of these guys that constantly making music. I don't want to say the name of them because they are pretty local, but basically, yeah, he's pretty cool guy. He's worked with the guys and Green Jelly and all that stuff. Yeah, he's worked with he knows a lot of different artists and different bands and stuff. And he's like, you know, this AI music is actually pretty fucking cool. I was like, yeah. He's like, dude, this song is really badass. So he's kind of supporting it. And of course, you know, he knows I wrote these lyrics. And he said, this is really good. So I told him, I said, I don't want to go ahead and do, like, I only got 8 tracks for that record written, but I'm going to do a Hellraiser record that's already finished. I got all this shit. And he said, man, anything you've got, I'm willing to listen to. And I said, well, that's what I want to do, because I can go ahead. I don't know who that person is. But anyway, I literally don't. I have that person, whatever game they're playing, I don't know. If you want to DM them and say, who are you, go ahead. I just literally get a message that they're playing. Maybe that's a friend of mine. I have no idea. If you know, whoever you are, Flex Tape, let me know who you are, because I literally don't know. But at any rate, guys, this is the Grimlord, and we will see you guys next time with more great articles and all this other shit. Remember, AVN Summer. So we got all these AVNs coming, and don't worry, I did not leave you guys out when it comes to Criminal Border and Ego. You're getting both of them. Probably on Tuesday with the other AVNs that you guys like so much. And get ready, because we are going to Pound Town as far as these AVNs are concerned. All right, I'm out.
Later.
Enjoy the decline.